Welcome to the Hot Model Podcast.
Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres, Pirates. Ryan, it's an intriguing series to me. Played this team at the start of the month, now finishing the month against them. They're not good. They just came off winning 2 of 3 at Arizona. We'll talk about the Pirates. We can do it now if you want, but I would like to know, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with what this is the beginning of. The Padres play 13 games in 13 days, 26 games in 27 days. I don't need to tell you, Kevin, because you're the guy who's on the road with these guys and going to bed at 4 in the morning, et cetera, et cetera. To me, this seems like a really big stretch of their season, especially now that there are, I think, some doubts as to what we really have with this Padres club. You wrote about it a little bit today. We're a third of the way through the season. They're heading into a really big stretch that includes series with the Dodgers and Giants. Where are we now?
Ooh, yeah, it is a big stretch. And you're right. It was a big stretch because of the amount of games and the amount of days, because it starts, after the Pirates, you've got Giants, Brewers, Dodgers. Then you go Diamondbacks, Dodgers. I think you come home for Royals, and then it's Reds, Phillies. Like there's some teams in here, right? Leading up to the All-Star break. This is the schedule gets real and there's not rest. And then, like you said, there's questions. Who are they? Are they the team that had the best record in the league on May 10th? And when I say the league, I mean the major leagues. Are they the team that since then is, 14 and 13 maybe since then, or under 500 a little bit? So obviously not doing as well. The team that lost 6 in a row, the team that bullpen is blowing up. Plus, Michael King's out, probably will be for a little bit at least. We'll get into that in a little bit. And Yu Darvish isn't back. So who's their rotation when you got to go, you don't have off days, man, this is a big, big stretch.
Yes, absolutely. And some of the things that have been, I think, club strengths early on this year aren't so much club strengths anymore. You look at, Tom Krasvik has written a lot about pitching health, right? The pitching health isn't exactly what it was even a couple of weeks ago. Michael King's out. There's an issue with Yu Darvish where he's not comfortable pitching. I guess I'd like to get into both of those things separately. Let's start with King. At first the word was he slept bad. He slept on it wrong when they were in Atlanta. Then it's, some issues and it went from being he'll for sure be back when he comes off the IL to maybe now there are some questions. What's the latest with him?
All right. I want to make sure, because you're characterizing it correctly, but I want to make sure on the specifics, because the Padres, to some extent rightfully, get knocked for putting out bad info. It was maybe close to for sure, but they never said for sure we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And I just want to make sure that we're clear on that, because if we're going to knock them, right? Like they get knocked because, they should know every injury the second it happened, what the date is that the guy's coming back. And I think that's a little unfair. There's some nerve. There's evidently some nerve damage now or irritation. Okay. Now the good news is that there's not structural, like rotator cuffs, fine. There's not problems with bones or, ligaments or whatever. There's nerve damage, probably the neck, that he probably did sleep on it wrong. And so now there have been some anti-inflammatories. There, by the way, just in case you're wondering about the Padres, second opinion, right? Independent of the Padres for the player who's about to be a free agent, by the way. So they're not screwing around with this thing. Mm-hmm. So, So I gave you the good news, no structural damage. The bad news, or like the unknown news, which can make us all a little leery, is that there is no timeline. Michael King could start feeling really good tomorrow and be back on Friday when he's eligible to come off the list, right? Or he might not, and they have to wait for this thing to go down, and he could be out till after the All-Star break. There's just not any way of knowing. Right. So, of course, by the way, don't think Mike Schilt is just spinning this positively. Let's take some things in context. When's the last time Mike Schilt didn't spin anything positively? Fernando Tatis is batting 120 since 2018. Yeah, but he's hit them balls hard and he's doing some other stuff for us. So it's not just, Michael King that he's optimistic about. So there's the reality on King. The reality is we kind of don't know.
Right. And Yu Darvish, I think is even more interesting to me. Again, sort of structurally, there does not appear to be anything wrong. But he, and again, maybe no pitcher in baseball knows his body better than Yu Darvish knows his, right? He is not ready to return. He is not comfortable returning and going full bore. So many things with Yu Darvish can be, I think, sort of tough to pin down sometimes. What is as much as we know about that?
Yeah, so Yu Darvish shut down in spring training with elbow inflammation. Look, the last 2 years, Yu Darvish has missed time with elbow issues, right? As Tommy John in his past has been pitching a long time. There are elbow issues, right? Just like there's probably shoulder issues with Michael King. When we talk about these guys being healthy after an MRI, it's not healthy like most of us, right? It's healthy for a guy who has thrown X number of innings, right? That's just the reality of it. There's a reason some teams don't like and some players don't like to get MRIs. It's going to show damage. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there is some damage in there, but it's not anything that Yu Darvish didn't pitch really well with last year. So let's just be clear about that. So for all intents and purposes, a major league pitcher, Yu Darvish is fine, but he's feeling something. They trust Yu Darvish. As you alluded to, Yu Darvish knows his body. Yu Darvish is 38, going to be 39 in less than 3 months. Is probably at this transition period where he just needs to learn how to pitch, and by pitch, I mean the all-encompassing prepare for starts, start, get through 5, 6, 7 innings, in between start, get ready for his next start. So learn how to be a 38, 39, by the way, the contract goes for a few years, so a 40, 41. Need to learn how, if he plays that long, not sure he will, that he needs to learn how to kind of, all right, this is just my new normal. Like me, maybe Ryan, you're getting to this point. My new normal is I need to stretch in the morning because things hurt. So like the new normal for a 38-year-old starting pitcher in the major leagues is my understanding is that Yu Darvish is probably going to have to learn. Now, there's also the possibility that he comes back. That's the expectation. And he finds out a start or two, he just can't do it anymore. Like, we don't know.
Right. And Yu Darvish is so different, right? I mean, he's one of one in Major League Baseball, at least it seems to me. You know, they refer to him as Yu-san, right? He's more than just a veteran player. He's somebody who they really do trust. He's also somebody who could walk away from baseball tomorrow and it would not surprise any of us, right? This is a guy who has made his money, who has secured a spot in at the very least the Hall of Very Good, right? A hero in his home country, somebody who I think, you know, will go down as a very good player of his generation, but he could walk away, right? To me, that's the thing that concerns me a little bit. It's not, hey, he comes back in July instead of June. It's at some point something happens and the Padres are looking for a starting pitcher because things are already a little thin with no Michael King, with, you know, Stephen Colette getting knocked around, with Kyle Hart getting knocked around. They can't afford to lose more starting pitching.
No, they can't. That's for sure. All of a sudden, starting pitching depth is something of a concern that could be rectified from within, but you don't build a championship contender on could be, especially in the middle of the year. So, yeah, they would want some clarity on that. That's what they were going into the last trade deadline, remember, with Yu Darvish. Right. Like, are you going to come back or not? And so at this point, I have gotten nothing but the fact that they are trusting Yu Darvish. And let's remember, this is the guy who forfeited, I forget what it was, but like $4 million last year when he said, no, I'm going to go on the personal leave here because it's not right that I'm collecting money for not pitching when I'm healthy enough to pitch. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy that AJ Preller obviously goes back more than a decade with from the Rangers. So this is a guy that they trust. There will come a time where it's like, okay, so what are we going to do here? Are you done? You know, or are you pitching?
Right. And yeah. Again, to me, it's so interesting. You know, he's a guy, he can go, but there's something there that means he's uncomfortable going.
I want to make this clear. And I wish I had examples for you. And if we got to, you know, maybe I should have done it or maybe I will do it. I've heard of this before. This older pitchers, veteran pitchers, heck, in other sports, like the player has a say in this. And especially if the player has a history of grinding things out. Player has a history of posting, you know, like and that the player does get to decide, especially a veteran player, like when they're good to go.
Right. I'm sure when you covered LaDainian Tomlinson with the Chargers, and he was near the end of his career, he probably didn't practice full bore every day, right? I mean, there are, I think certain guys earn the benefit of the doubt, and that seems to be the case with Yu Darvish.
It's a good way to put it.
Yep. Pittsburgh Pirates come to town, 3-game series. Weird start times, by the way. Just an alert, tonight is the normal 6:40 p.m. Tomorrow is a 6:40 p.m. start, not the typical 5:40, correct? And then Sunday, we have the Rock and Roll Marathon, which means that game starts a little bit later, 2:10 p.m. All of them on Padres TV, Saturday also on CBS Channel 8. Pirates come to town. You know, they're 21-36. Only the Rockies and Royals are worse. This year,
no, not the Royals.
I'm sorry. Oh, Rockies and Orioles. Jeez.
There we go.
Jeez, Rockies okay. and Orioles.
You really, yeah.
you know, they fired their manager, and everybody sort of threw their hands in the air and said, "Well, that won't do any good." Well, you know what? They're 9-10, and they're coming off a pretty impressive series against the Diamondbacks in Phoenix. You know, Padres are 31-23, second place in the NL West. Paul Skeens will never pitch at Petco Park ever, apparently. He will never pitch against the Padres ever. Once again, the Padres dodge a bullet. They don't have to face the one really impressive starting pitcher on Pittsburgh's roster. You know, it's a 3-game series. Mitch Keller tonight against Nick Pivetta. Annie Heilbrun had a nice Q&A with Nick Pivetta on our website this morning. He's been maybe their most dangerous starting pitcher this year, don't you think?
He's been their most consistent, their best. Now, Michael King, his ERA is lower. I would argue outside of New York in the rain, and it's still decent. And then obviously Colorado, I mean, Nick Pivetta would have a 2 ERA, might even be under. I haven't done the math, but, you know, there's obviously a disaster in Colorado. And, you know, what's crazy is he's gone seven shutout innings three times, and then three times, including his last two starts, he's gone 6 innings and allowed 1 run. Like, that's consistency. Those are quality starts. There should be another notch above quality start, right? I defend the quality start all the time because that's the game today. I think the quality start was ahead of its time when it was invented. Now, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. That's a quality start. You've given your team a chance to win by like, yes. So, but man, what Nick Pivetta's doing when he's on is fantastic. I do want to say this. You've got Keller, Falter, Haney. By the way, they should have LLC after the there. That sounds like a law firm. But you've got Mitch Keller, Bailey Falter, and why am I blanking? Because he's the guy I should know.
Haney, Andrew
Haney. Going for the Pirates. That's the same three guys the Padres faced last time. The Padres got to Haney. They actually did get to Keller. But like, these are three good pitchers. These are three pitchers with three ERAs in the threes. And like, what are we talking about with the Padres offense lately? Like, the neutralizer when you're playing a crappy team is the pitching. And yes, Padres fans should actually, unless you just want to see, you know, if Jackson Merrill's going to hit 2 homers off him, Padres fans should be rejoicing they're not facing Paul Skeens. But these are three decent pitchers, man. And I don't know how you feel, Ryan, but like, baseball's a funny game. They can get swept by the Pirates. The end is here. The sky is falling. And they could go out and win 9 of their next 11 games. But, like, mm-hmm. I see this as a series. They need to mop up, baby.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, right? There aren't
and they have for the most part.
Yeah. When you look at the Padres next month, there aren't a whole lot of gimmies in the next month, right? Bailey Falter is the guy who impresses, I guess, scares me the most of those guys. And this is all from our Jeff Sanders. He has an ERA of under 1.92 in the month of May this year.
Yeah.
He's pitched 29 in a third innings. That's not sort of, you know, small sample size.
That begins with the Padres series, by the way.
Right, right. Yeah. He allowed 1 run in 7 innings against the Padres earlier this month.
Manny home run, I believe.
Yep. He's been really good. And again, lefties, you know, you worry about a lefty that gives them trouble. You know, Andrew Heaney's numbers are a little bit better than Falter's on the season. He's a guy who the Padres have faced a ton over the years between his time with what the Dodgers and the Angels. And
he owned them. And then the last they scored 4 on him in the second, had him out in the fourth, a lot of pitches. And I think last year, maybe 22 last year, I believe they also did well against them. Before that, he owned them when he was with the Dodgers and the Angels, just owned the Padres.
Yes. Dylan Cease goes Saturday. And then you look at Randy Vasquez Sunday. Kevin, you had a note about Matt Waldron, and that's a guy who comes up on this podcast we haven't heard a ton from since spring training. He may be only a rehab starter two away from rejoining this club. When he comes back, I mean, is he a rotation guy? Is this?
Yeah, that's an interesting, it's really interesting. Like two rehab starts, I guess maybe the instructional league or something before that. But like, it looks like he'll be back. Now, at this point, you'd have to think that's in place of Kyle Hart. If Kyle Hart pitches well next time, depending on how the other starters are feeling, do they go with six or, you know, what do they do there? I fully expect that they're going to do some shuffling in their bullpen. Evidently, Bradley Rodriguez is coming up. I expect Ryan Berger to be back. They're going to have to do some creative stuff probably to get through this stretch of 26 in 27. Yeah. And I would think that, or my understanding is that that involves Matt Waldron at some point.
Yep. Yep. I was out there Wednesday. As you were, in a lot of loud, hard contact against Kyle Hart, a lot of warning track fly balls, even before things started falling apart on him. I can't imagine that based on his stats alone, and he seems like a lovely guy, but based on his stats alone, I can't imagine that they're planning on him, you know, starting a playoff game on the mound for them this year.
Right, right. I will say this, like, I have this soft spot in my heart for number five starters, which, by the way, right now you could go. It's almost insulting to call Randy Vasquez one now. He's got a 2.89 ERA in his last six starts or something like that. Like Randy Vasquez is turned into a real nice number four starter, right?
Four and a half. Let's call him a four and a half. Yeah.
I disagree with you, but that's fine. I mean, I think that like we're not comparing him to the Koufax days. Like I just think Randy Vasquez is a number four starter, but we're nitpicking right now. But like Kyle Hart, certainly a rung below Vasquez, a rung below Kolek, but like these guys are supposed to, when I say supposed to, I hope you know what I mean. They're supposed to go out and barely survive five innings. And if you get six from them, heck, man. And Kyle Hart, yes, you characterized it correctly. How it was amazing how many fly balls there were. And Stephen Kolek, it was hilarious when Mike Schilt said a lot of soft contact. If you checked the ground balls, and it was a little bit unlucky, but if you checked the ground balls that Stephen Kolek gave up in that five-run inning or six-run inning, it was all red. It was all 100+. It was like, soft contact? What are you talking about? These guys are supposed to go out and sort of barely survive most of the time. Now, would you love to have, but can someone tell me a team that has five number ones? Can someone tell me a team that has a number one? I mean, because there's like a dozen of them, a true ace. So like, I will just stick up for them. That doesn't mean anything you said about them isn't true. It's like, come on, man. Like, we all got spoiled by the 16 starts in a row Matt Waldron put together. Like, Matt Waldron's fantastic. He'll never have another 16 starts like that again. And if he does, like, everyone in baseball will be surprised. Matt Waldron will be surprised.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm fascinated by Matt Waldron just simply because of his pitch, his knuckleball. I thought he was Matt Waldron and Jurickson Profar carried this team last year for long stretches. And I know confidence, it appears, is an issue with Waldron sometimes. I can't wait to see what Matt Waldron looks like after thinking about this for the last 9 months. You know, does he come out and is he just knuckleball? You know, it's compelling. And you want to talk about the five starter spot is where you put the funky guy, right? It's where you put the guy who throws a weird pitch. It's where you put the guy who, you know, can mess with hitters a little. And I can't wait to watch him come back. Kevin, did you mention Bradley Rodriguez?
Yeah, that's the word. I don't know. Jeff Sanders might have that already. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, so there's going to be some movement. You know, I was a little surprised they sent Omar Cruz down there. Sean Reynolds has turned into a viable couple inning guy, and they're just probably going to need that here over the next. But Rodriguez is a guy who really excited them in spring. So yeah.
Yeah, he's been good. 18 games, 4-0 with a 3.22 ERA for them, a whip under nine or under zero or under one.
That'd be great if you could get minus. Jeez. That'd be great.
Venezuelan guy has spent this season in San Antonio after spending last year starting in Lake Elsinore and working up to Fort Worth in San Antonio. Interesting. I mean, just looking at his profile here, an interesting mix and another name to add to that mix for them.
Yeah, the bullpen. It's funny. You know, I feel like I'm being too soft on them, even though I've written about all their stuff. It's like, this happens. And there's been such good spurts. It was not like last year before they made the moves that at the deadline that made their bullpen going into the playoffs, you know, one of the best, if not the best bullpen in baseball. Last year, they were doing a puzzle piece, and Robert Suarez was having to go four outs a lot of times. He led the majors most of the year in that category. And they just, like, people were not doing their jobs, I don't want to say on the regular, but way too often. And this year, that hasn't been the case. I still think it's a good bullpen. But they are looking to how they can make it better. And, you know, that involves to some extent seeing if they can sub in some guys.
Yep. Optioning in some guys and optioning out some guys. I mean, that makes some sense. The thing that struck me the other day was Jason Adams struggling a little bit. You know, Jeremiah Estrada had a really rough stretch. You know, these are two of the kind of higher profile names in their bullpen. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what gives me cause for concern. You know, it's not when your long guys struggle, right?
And it's everybody. Because in the beginning, when I was asking questions about it, people would be like, you know, like, it was only this guy. And I was like, okay, well, tonight, Jason Adam. Oh, well, there's Robert Suarez. Oh, okay, Estrada. Great point. It has been everyone at some point. And when it's your higher leverage guys. Now, he had a pitch get away from him, a changeup that hit a guy in the head. It rattled him. I'm not making excuses. He wasn't making excuses. And Manny Machado botched a ball. So, like, there's two unearned runs. Like, you got to do your job, but, like, extenuating circumstances. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that they lost two different leads to the Marlins and you know, avoid, you couldn't get the sweep. That's bad. But, like, you know, that's what I'm saying, too. Like, you got to look at every instance on the Jason Adam or any reliever, really. Now, like, when he came in against the Yankees, that was not good. He threw the wrong pitches to the wrong places and he got beat. Right. So because that's the other time that Jason Adam has been complicit in these. Let's see, in their last 10 leads, they protected their first 22 leads, many of them like one run. They've let go six of their last 10 leads. They've been handed a lead 10 times since May 6th, and six of them had vanished. Plus, they were handed a tie ball game one time and lost. So it has been a rough stretch for the bullpen.
Yep. Do we think that they can add to this bullpen, or are there more pressing issues other places?
That's a really good question. And I believe that there are more pressing issues. It hasn't even reached the point where I've asked about the bullpen, but definitely looking for left fielder. And, you know, may end up having to find a starting pitcher.
Yeah, depending on what we find out about Michael King and Yu Darvish. That's a great point. Kevin, I always put you on the spot at the tail end of this, and today's no different. Sunday's the Rock and Roll Marathon. It's a two-parter. Number one, have you ever run a marathon? If no, would you ever run a marathon? And what would I have to pay you to get you to run a marathon?
You know, I'm not a runner because it bores me. Right. Like when I work out, I run in quarter mile stints at the beginning and the end. And I try to sprint as hard as I can, because any more than that, and I'm bored out of my mind. Right. So I just can't know, but I have so much admiration because of how hard that is. And do you have time for a quick story?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of years ago, I took a Saturday game off, because my son got it in his mind to run a 31-mile race. I believe it's a 50K. He'd never done anything like it. He trained for it, but kind of, whatever. He goes out really hard, right? We find out later, right? First 24 miles, just killing it. Cramps up. You've got 10 hours to finish it for it to be official, okay? We get there about 8 hours, 8.5 hours, about 9:05. His buddy he was with comes in. He tells us about, you know, Bailey's, you know, hurting. Okay, it's cool. He's got like 50 minutes, whatever, to do this, right? Gets to be in about 9:40, and I'm starting to rally the troops. Okay, no matter what happens, man, we got to encourage him, right? Great job, buddy, because there's no way he's coming in at 10 hours, right? So it's got to be official. They're starting to pack up a little bit, the people. You know, the big thing is still up with all the lights and the, you know, the timer and everything. 9:55, you see my son on the horizon, barely moving, but still going. I'm running out there. I got tears coming. I'm about to cry right now. Because, I mean, someone who just ran for almost 10 hours is going to take it down to the wire. I'm running out there. People are going nuts. I mean, there's like 20 people left. But there's people are going nuts. 9:58:58. He crosses the line. I have never been prouder. Just because, and I would go and watch you do it or anyone else who just pushed themselves for nearly 10 hours to do something insane. I have all the admiration. So there's a part of me that says, I don't know, pay my entry fee and I'll go do it. Like, sure. And then I say, no, absolutely not, Ryan. You and your wife and your children could not make enough in four lifetimes to pay me to do a marathon.
Kevin, your version of a marathon starts tonight. 26 games, 27 days. Should be fun. This feels like a big series to me. And I think it feels like it to you too. Padres, Pirates, three-game series. Starting at Petco Park. Again, weird start time Saturday and Sunday. 6:40 on Saturday, 2:10 on Sunday because of the Rock and Roll Marathon. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. God, I love that story. We need more of those on here. We'll see you next time.